Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Breaking overnight, the first known military action under Commander-in-Chief Joe Biden against an Iranian-backed target in Syria. Retaliation, we're told, for recent attempted attacks targeting U.S. troops.
Right, so the White House says that these strikes overnight, as you mentioned, President Biden's first as president, were in response to attacks on U.S. personnel and U.S. targets earlier this month. So early this month, we know that one U.S. civilian contractor was killed and six others wounded in rocket attacks in northern Iraq on Erbil.
So, yeah, that was the breaking news overnight. This responsive attack, measured, proportional attack against Syria and therefore against Iran by indirect proxy attack. So this is in response to the attack that was against our forces. And as you heard, they killed the one civilian contractor in Iraq. And interesting that it happens the same day as President Biden has taken his first call with the head of Saudi Arabia. Coincidence? I think not. And I don't mean anything sinister. I mean, this is a show of alignment, right? I mean, Trump was very heavily aligned with the Saudis, and now this is Biden's, I think, way of saying, you know, we are too, maybe not quite as much. That's been an open question. You know, he's trying to rework the Iran deal. So at the same time as he's trying to produce progress diplomatically with Iran over their nuclear weapons program, whether that's a fool's errand or not, I mean, you know, a lot of people think that it really is, including me, but still, that's what he's working on. And then, of course, building ties with Saudi Arabia and then attacking these militants on the Syria-Iraq border. So what was the choice of the target? Was this all authorized by the Pentagon? How involved were the Iraqis? How involved was newly appointed Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin?
We're confident that that target was being used by the same Shia militia that conducted the strikes. We allowed and encouraged the Iraqis to investigate and develop intelligence, and that was very helpful to us and refining the target.
Yeah, so this is, to me, this makes sense. This is a proportional response. It's not an escalation, but it is not a nothing either. You know, when you do nothing, you invite escalation and you invite repeated attacks. Of course, every new administration has to prove that it's willing to use military force in order to discourage the attacks by our enemies. But nobody wants to do it, but you have to do it at some point. If they push, you push back. That's the way this works. Bullies only understand force. They do not understand kind talk. I think something that President Obama never really understood. And maybe Biden does. I mean, we'll see. You know, time will tell whether he really understands that or not. 7:13 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Meanwhile, yesterday, in a sort of related story, because, you know, if these attacks were done by, and I don't think we know yet what branch of the military was used. They're often done by the Navy, but maybe in that part of the world they would have been done by the Air Force. Not quite clear. I don't think it's been reported yet, and if they has been, I'm mistaken. But yesterday, Matt Gaetz conducted the basically a military information day, this time focused around the changing of the helicopters at NAS Whiting Field. This is a big deal. It's been ongoing for a while. I think we might have been the first news organization to report this, because I remember back way before COVID, I think this was the homecoming air show like a year and a half ago, and I managed to bump into the folks from Leonardo and had them on the show, and we talked about their new helicopter that at the time they were hoping would get approved for the contract with the military to replace the aging TH-57. And sure enough, that's what they've got. And now they're building this big air park over there. They're going to have, you know, maintainers, and it's going to be jobs, enormous amount of jobs. And it's going to support all kinds of additional things for Whiting Field and the city of Milton and the surrounding vicinity. But in the process, you just got to understand the basic swap out is of this new TH-73 from Leonardo. They're swapping that out for the old TH-57, which has been around for just a little while, like since the Tet Offensive. It's an analog system. It's crazy. It's crazy that we train our aviators for rotors. We train our aviators on this old, 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 old platform, which has done well for a long time. But this new one is so much better, having the Sea Ranger up there to, that's the old one. Have the TH-73. I don't think they have a name for it yet. I was looking to come up with a name yet. Maybe that's to be decided. But anyway, so they had this big informational thing yesterday about that. And it was mostly just kind of, here's what's going on. It wasn't any big breaking news or anything, but basically you had Matt giving an opportunity for like the Commodore of the training wing over there, Training Wing 5, to talk about what the mission at Whiting is and to educate people about how significant Whiting is and how many people work at Whiting and how many, you know, like all your naval aviators and all your marine aviators come through there and go other places or stay there if they're doing rotors or tilt wing like the Osprey or whatever. So just, I mean, it was interesting, but much more as like background brief than really, you know, here's the breaking news of the day. And important because, again, that's the training pipeline. And you've got to protect that training pipeline. If there's ever a hiccup in the production of new aviators, then you have a loss of capability to deploy the military into active scenarios around the world. That's the idea. So we are essential to that here in Pensacola. And a lot of times, you know, people have this idea like NAS Pensacola is the big show. And it is in some ways, but in terms of actively training the aviators, NAS Whiting Field is the big show. I mean, they're both very important, don't get me wrong, but, you know, people tend to think of NAS Pensacola and they don't think as much of Whiting, and you really should if you're thinking about the significance to naval aviation training. 716 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
And let's talk about Avalon Boulevard and Garcon Point Bridge. First, Garcon northbound is delayed almost into Gulf Breeze now as we are just seeing these delays stem from the toll plaza. Again, still free. It's just reduced to one lane, so as many cars are trying to approach it, it's moving slower. And so it's just slow moving going across the northern span. Southbound span looks like it's checking in clear. And Avalon Boulevard, it looks a little delayed around the area of the Avalon Landing RV Park, but nothing too significant. Southbound going towards I-10, also showing no delays. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly along with 9 Mile Road. And the front gate of NAS Pensacola checking in clear. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So if you've got a business meeting and you'd like to produce it as a video or just have the video hosted and handled, Pelican Drones. If you are expanding your company and you want to do a video of that, Pelican Drones. If you've got a special for spring break that you want to put on online, Pelican Drones. You say, well, Andrew, it says drones in their name. Isn't that all they do? Nope. That's the point. Yes, they do any kind of drone footage. I mean, they do amazing drone footage of things like, you know, the bridge or of real estate, land deals. I mean, you know, damage from a hurricane, all that kind of stuff. Yes. But really any kind of video production service they can do. So if it's interviews, if it's testimonials, if it's walkthroughs, like 3D walkthroughs so that your potential clients can like poke around inside the vacation rental, they do all that kind of stuff. It's kind of amazing what they have. So any kind of video production need that you have, Pelican Drones, pelicandrones.com.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball.
Good morning, 719 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I've got four tickets for the Sun Belt Conference Women's Basketball Session 2. That comes up March 5th next week. That's right, next week the Sun Belt Tournament is going to be here. We've got four tickets for you. Caller number three wins these tickets at 437-1620, 437-1620. Mark Jacobs is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Mark?
The Pentagon confirming a U.S. strike on Iran-backed militia in Syria. The president ordering the strike in eastern Syria after that string of rocket attacks against U.S. forces in Iraq.
Varying reports of fatalities. Iran's state broadcaster saying 17, quote, resistance fighters were killed. Meanwhile, a monitoring group saying the fatalities are 22 and that trucks carrying weapons were destroyed.
That's NBC's Keir Simmons. An FDA panel meets today to consider emergency use authorization for Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine. Unlike the others, the J&J vaccine requires just a single shot and does not need the ultra-cold storage. The FBI now reportedly involved in the Lady Gaga dog-napping case. The singer's dog walker wounded Wednesday night as he was taking her three French bulldogs for a walk in Hollywood. The attacker stole two of them. LAPD reportedly treating it as an armed robbery. Now the FBI's involved to see if Lady Gaga was targeted.
Very good. All right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. 721 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. All right. I don't really want to do this topic, but the culture keeps forcing me. you know, the culture all around me keeps sticking its finger in my eye and saying, I don't care what you people think. We are going to destroy the concept of gender. Deal with it. It's going away. It's all over. There's no male, there's no female. It doesn't matter. All that stuff in the Bible about God created the male and female, you're just wrong, and you're going to have to live with it. What started all this discussion today?
Little super Mr. Potato Head. You can make a Mr. Potato Head. There are hats and a hose and pants for you to make a potato head fireman too.
I love you, Mr. Potato Head.
No, young lady. You can't. Oh, and I can't even say young lady. You know, I got to say young person, because who knows? What's the determination? I don't know. She doesn't know. Nobody can know. Gender is a myth. Gender is a construct. Gender doesn't exist. Anybody can be anything that they want or anything that they feel they got wrong in the beginning. That's when I say gender anarchy as the agenda. That's what I mean. There's no more male and female bathrooms. You know, I've seen this sign of the half-skirted silhouette and the half-non-skirted. Have you seen this? Seriously, I'm not kidding. It's okay. So, and this is not just this one story, right? It's not just the Potato Head brand change, right? It used to be Mr. Potato Head featuring Mr. or Mrs. Potato Head. It's now just Potato Head, but they're keeping the Mr. And it's so weird the way Hasbro has rolled this out. It's very convoluted because people have misunderstood the rollout. They basically say they're changing the overall brand, but they're still keeping Mr. and Mrs. It's so confusing. But here are some of the comments, okay? This actually comes from Christia Brown, professor of developmental psychology at the University of Kentucky. Kids this young are not cognitively advanced to understand gender variation. People from a very young age understand gender variation. It's the first thing you select other people for when you look at them. It's one of the very first things you do to pick out a person, male or female. They lead with salient characteristics like gender-coded names or pink or blue clothing. They also essentialize gender-based stereotypes. For example, if one girl doesn't like playing Legos, all girls are like them. Children in this age group pay attention to the rules, and that's what we see an uptick in stereotypical behavior. That's why Mr. Potato Head's evolution is exciting. It's important when toy companies make changes like this because toys in play are educational. She's 100% right about that. What you get kids playing with, seeing, learning, the way you're reinforcing some kind of norm. She's 100% right about that. This is not some minor changing of the culture, okay? Representation, she says, the power lesson in the hands of, say, a 4-year-old. Toy companies have been biased for so long, and they can really shift the landscape of childhood. Again, she's 100% right. They can shift the landscape of childhood. The question is whether it's for the worse or for the better. So here's the thing. You don't just have the Potato Head story, which, by the way, this is a weird story anyway, because potatoes reproduce asexually. It's not a gendered vegetable to begin with. And it is, as I said to Mark last hour when we talked about this, the Potato Head is the most trans toy ever. Because you're always putting, you know, earrings on the dude and you're putting a mustache on the woman. I mean, that's the whole point. It's interchangeable and swappable, and kids do that all the time. The fact that you now come out with this sort of cultural virtue signal that we also don't believe in gender is a signal of the times. And nobody feels comfortable protesting. Everybody feels like you can't win on this. And it's true. Even I, you know, do I talk about this? Do I not talk about this? All I'm going to get is hate mail. Well, I'll tell you my own personal view. I think there are men and women. And I feel terrible for the people who feel that they are assigned wrong or feel inappropriate in their bodies or feel out of place. It's got to be a terrible thing to experience. But every cell in your body tells you what gender you are. There's either XY or XX in there. So this notion that you can just pick and choose whatever you want to be, it's craziness. And you have all of these, and this shows up in all the funniest ways, like the you know, all this time we've been pushing for equality for women in sports and access to money for sports, right? And then because of this emergence of the trans issue, you've now got born men competing against women in their sport, which is not fair because men and women are not equal biologically in terms of strength, speed, and coordination. This is known. That's why you have separate female sports. And if you protest it, you're the bigot. How about you just believe that there's a difference? which we all know, and yet we're so adamantly trying to prove that we believe in fairness and equality and kindness that nobody's willing to say the truth anymore. Look, there's an ordinance that is proposed in California that would make it illegal for a store to have separate boys and girls or men's and women's anything areas. Like, you can't sell things differently to men and women. And if you do, you'd be in violation. Because tell me how it's going to work when women are shopping for their undergarments and men are shopping for their undergarments in the same aisle. Is that going to make women feel comfortable? It's nuts where this stuff goes. 726 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
And yeah, taking a look over at Avalon Boulevard. So far as you're going northbound, not really seeing many delays. Very minor at best. Southbound Avalon Boulevard is showing delays as you're traveling along. Backed up to Moores Oak Drive. Northbound Garcon Point Bridge is delayed about midway through the bridge as you're trying to get through the toll plaza. It does clear up once you get through there. And southbound, we are starting to see delays going into Gulf Breeze. Backed up just off of land. So as you're about to exit the bridge, you are going to be met with these delays. Gulf Breeze Parkway and Navarre Parkway in both directions checking in clear. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Highway 29 showing minor delays in between 9 Mile and I-10 southbound. But speaking of 9 Mile, it's checking in clear. In fact, actually just received a tip that the traffic configurations over there, especially around Highway 29, are improving. They've been doing construction over there for quite a while. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So there are kind of three sorts of people when it comes to hardware. There's those of you who are like professions who do construction all the time. Pensacola Hardware can help you because they can put you on a monthly bill instead of having to go down with a credit card every time. They can ship stuff to the job site, save you time and money. If you need advice on the codes or anything like that, they've been doing this for under 70 years. They know how to help you. But maybe you're in the second category. You're the kind of person where it's like, it's not a honey-do list, it's a you-do list. Like, you just like doing home fix-it stuff. Obviously, they speak your language. They're your kind of people. They've got it available. They can help you figure out any problems. And then there's the category three, that's me. People who only do home improvement or home repair projects when absolutely dragged, kicking and screaming to do them. And so they're great for people like me because they understand, they can help, they can answer questions. Even the questions you're embarrassed to ask, they'll answer them. So Pensacola Hardware, wherever you are on the home improvement or construction spectrum, they can help you. They've been doing it for people just like you for 170 years, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street in Pensacola. Seven 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Coming up at 8:30 this morning, we are having our second installment of The Gang. We're going to have former city council member Larry Johnson and also former state representative and now realtor Dee Dee Davis. Of course, Larry owns the Azalea. That'll be at 8:30 this morning, a half-hour conversation. Coming up in just a minute, what did city council do with the gun buy program last night? Oh, it was kind of interesting.
Find our podcasts on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and NewsRadio923.com.
Brings us to item 17, gun buyback initiative and program. Recommendation is that the City Council approve the specifics of the gun buyback initiative program for the City of Pensacola.
Just so you know, Council, we've gotten about 190 gun locks that we'll provide to the community, as well as we have a firearms instructor who will be present there to also talk about gun safety, how to properly store firearms and things of that nature. So
I absolutely support the Second Amendment right. I don't see this is a constitutional issue. Everybody is free to do whatever they want to, and if they wish to come do that, we've made that available. We're not forcing anybody to do that, so I want to be very clear.
Mayor Grover Robinson at last night's city council meeting affirming again his support for the request by Delarian Wiggins, city councilman in District 7, to have a gun buy program. Can't really call it a buyback program, right, because, you know, the police didn't own them in the first place, so you can't buy back something you never owned. People are right about that. But still, you know, before that, Delarian Wiggins explaining that they're going to have a safety instructor, they're going to have gun locks available, like 190 of them to give away to people, and the issue presented by Jared Moore, city council president, last night. Now, I figured that this would be almost a pro forma, because they had the final details, which we've reported to you many times, that they're going to pay $125 for a functioning revolver, $150 for a semi-automatic pistol. That'd be your Glock, your Ruger, your Colt 1911, whatever. Oh my God, though, if you sell a functioning Colt 1911 for $150, I just makes me want to cry because it'll get melted, it'll get destroyed. I didn't think I'd get emotional this morning, but okay. Or a semi-automatic rifle for $200, which is crazy. I don't know how anybody's... Okay, but that's beside the point. Okay, we knew these details. There's going to be face coverings required. It's going to be at Bill Gregory Park on March the 20th, starting at 9 a.m. And refreshments will be provided. Just come sell a gun and get a Pepsi. I don't know. Here's some chips. Loaded weapons or ammunition will be permitted at this event. That's all true. And the gun does have to function. Okay. But last night, and Mayor Robinson, he has been for this, and he says, look, he understands that not all things are for all areas. District 7 has been especially hit by gun violence, and he knows it won't end all the violence.
I am under no illusion that this will end gun violence tomorrow, but I do believe it has the ability to lessen it and do something. And I do believe it has the ability to create better relationship between the individuals in District 7 and the city and our police department.
I don't know. I've been a skeptic about this the whole way through. But okay, that's not what was interesting last night. Here's what was interesting. The original vote to approve this was 7-0, and I had to come back for final approval of the details, which I just gave you. And I figured the vote would again be 7-0. And then President Moore started talking.
I will say, in my time on council, I've learned there's about three tiers of disapproval that I've experienced. Sometimes after a vote, I'll have constituents that disapprove of the vote I cast, and I might get a text or an email. Those are usually pretty soft. If things get a little more serious, I might get a call. The pinnacle of disapproval is what I call the chase you down in the middle of the shopping aisle at Publix level of disapproval. And, that's not limited to grocery store aisles. It also extends to youth basketball games and restaurants.
So what level of feedback did you get after your first vote in support of the $10,000 public money spend to buy people's guns from them, President Moore?
And I will say for this particular item on our first vote, that is we elevated. For me, I had many, many constituents that reached out to voice their disapproval that under no circumstances did they want their government buying guns from her citizenry under any circumstance. So certainly appreciate the educational components there. At the end of the day, this is a gun buy initiative, and for that reason, I can't vote to support it this evening. My constituents, many of them, made it very clear to me they did not approve of that, and so that I will be voting against this evening.
Yay for representative democracy. Yay also for second readings of things. And it's not technically a second reading, but give it a second chance. People see how you voted one time and they'll hunt you down in the Publix and tell you no, don't do that again. So he switched his vote from yes to no. Casey Jones also switched his vote from yes to no.
So I haven't been chased down anywhere, but I do have a good bit of people that walk by my house and like to talk to me about these things whenever I'm out in the front yard looking on something. So I have only heard disapproval of this from my constituents. That's all I've heard from emails, calls, and again, people walking by. So I also can't support it.
So he also responding to his constituents, and his thought is, why are we spending public taxpayer money on this? Why didn't we push to get at least, we shouldn't be spending public money on this, maybe corporate gift cards or something like that. And he's right, that should have been investigated a little bit more. Then Sherry Myers, so that's two votes for no. And Sherry Myers, a District 2, who's well to the left on the political spectrum.
From the research I've conducted, it does not appear that gun buybacks, there's been no proof that they reduce gun violence.
Now, she said this before, but she went ahead and supported the measure. And in the end, of course, she did wind up supporting the measure, which surprised me, because if you don't believe a thing is going to work, why would you support spending public money to make it happen? But in the process of explaining her vote, she told a very concerning story.
I am glad to see that the guns that are being bought back, however, are operable. I mean, I had a gun I had to throw away because I thought, well, heck, I could have sold it to the city. My dog chewed the handle off of it. That was years ago, and then it got all rusted inside, and it definitely wasn't usable.
So what? Why is the dog chewing on the gun in the first place? Was it loaded? Was the dog okay? I have a lot of questions. Also, Sherry Myers owned a gun? I don't know. It kind of surprised. I mean, not that liberals don't own guns, but just it. I thought it was a fascinating admission. And Jared Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Myers. I'll say that's a tough image there. You got a gun-wielding watchdog.
Yeah, still a little bit nervous about that. I know, Davis, that was your reaction to this, too. But that was not the... That was not the moment of the evening for me. I mean, those were interesting comments. The moment of the discussion for me was Ann Hill. And this was back a little bit earlier than the clips I was just playing you. But in the context of getting pushback from constituents who Sherry said she got none, Ann Hill, city councilwoman for District 6, says, yeah, I didn't get any either. But that's not the interesting bit.
Well, being in District 6, I have not gotten any disapproval whatsoever. And I thoroughly... welcome anything that can stop violence, educate people on, I don't even know what a gun lock is, but if I had a gun, I'd want one. And so I'm grateful that you're doing that aspect of it.
What? Just what? I mean, look, I like Ann Hill. She's super sweet. I get along great with her. You know, I probably agree with her at least half the time. I think she leans pretty heavily to the left, too. But how do you go into a meeting like this where she didn't know when the thing was going to happen? She hadn't read the backup on the flyer, clearly. And she doesn't know what a gun lock is?
I don't even know what a gun lock is, but if I had a gun, I'd want one.
What? My brain's going to blow up. Like, why are you voting on a gun-related measure if you don't even know the bait? Ask. Google. A. What's a gun lock? I apologize for not knowing. I don't know what's a gun lock. It sounds like a great... Well, it's a piece of cable that you put inside the gun when the chamber is open so that it can't function. Or you put a gun lock, a trigger lock. I mean, there's all kinds of variants, but... Remember how we talk about guns a lot of times and legislators voting on gun measures that clearly do not understand the subject matter? Like, I want to be as patient, as tolerant as I can, but that was my reaction. I'm glad she's honest about it. I'm glad she's transparent about it. And again, I really like Ann Hill quite a bit. But at this one moment, I thought, good Lord, why are you even voting if you don't know the basics of what a gun is? But nevertheless, they approved it 5-2. So we'll see. And again, just trying to be as fair as I possibly can. If we could ever know, and we will not, but if we could ever know that of the whatever number of people are going to sell their guns back to the city or to the city, I can't say back to the city, if that does in fact prevent an accidental discharge or a suicide attempt or a crime, if it's even one, $10,000 is a small price to pay. I agree with that. We'll never know. But that's fair. That's true. But the idea that guns are the problem, that government ought to be trying to reduce the number of guns, may not be in letter opposed to the Second Amendment. It's not. But it is in spirit very opposed to the Second Amendment. 748. Plus, I hate to see the police have to melt guns or destroy guns that they could maybe sell and make a profit. You know, I mean, some of these guns might be worth quite a bit. Why should they be? They could probably pay for the $10,000 just by selling them. Oh, they can't. I know they can't, but you get what I'm saying. 748 News Radio, 92.3 AM, 1620. Davis Allen has traffic for you.
Yeah, going northbound and southbound, Garcon Point Bridge, both just really delayed as you're traveling. It does clear up as you're going northbound. Once you get through the toll plaza, it should check and clear the rest of the way, actually all the way to I-10. Not really seeing any northbound delays on Avalon. Southbound delays we are noticing going towards I-10. It's backed up beyond Moore's Oak Drive. As you're traveling southbound across Garcon Point Bridge, before you even get to the hump is where you're going to be met with southbound delays. I-10, I-110 checking and clear and seeing no delays along 9 Mile, but it is a little delayed as you are in between 9 Mile Road and I-10 on Highway 29. This is affecting the southbound direction. And this report is brought to you by Coins, Sports Cards, and Racing Collectibles, Highway 98 in Gulf Breeze. Buy, sell, or trade your collectible items from gold and silver to Hot Wheels. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the 5.
So we all live in the South, and the South has wet air, humidity, right? It's too high outside your house and inside your house. Now, this has all kinds of consequences for health, for your home's longevity, for mold growth, for wood warping, all that kind of stuff. But there's another part of this you don't think much about, which is, you know, the reason why it feels that horrible cold, even when it's just a couple of degrees down, or that horrible hot, even when it's just a couple of degrees up inside your home, is because it's too humid. If you can reduce the humidity inside your home, suddenly the range of temperatures that you can enjoy changes dramatically. It's the wetness in the air that makes the temperature that much more of a problem one way or the other. Plus, if you dehumidify your home, and this is what Southern Climate Solutions does, is whole home dehumidifiers, now all of a sudden it's a lot cheaper to heat and cool your home because you're not heating and cooling the water or moisture, you're just heating and cooling the air. In fact, they can save you about 20% on your electric bill. So if you love the South, but you don't love the humidity and you'd like to see what they can do for you, find out more about Southern Climate Solutions at southernclimatesolutions.com. Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. We'll get to Mark Jacobs and Davis here in just a second, but let me squeeze Ellison Bennett in, who called on the gun buy program. Ellison, I don't have too much time, but you had a thought about this?
Yes. As a former officer, I think that anything we can do to address crime and violence, we should. But yes, it is true that it hasn't been proven that gun buybacks will deter people from committing a crime, but let's give it a chance, see what happens. And I think if parents be more attentive to what's going on in their homes with these young people carrying guns, that we could address it in a more aggressive way that way.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And parents need to be, you need to be a tyrant in the home. You really do. Ellison, thanks for the call. You need to be on them about their social media. You need to be watching their computer. You need to be paying attention to their people they hang around with and things that they do. And you need to ask questions and poke around. And, you know, that's the way this thing works, okay? You can be as benevolent as allowed, given that you have total control over their lives until they grow up. 7:54 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
The U.S. taking aim at Iranian-backed forces in Syria. The Pentagon confirming the U.S. military carried out an airstrike against a facility belonging to Iran-supported militia. President Biden approved the strike, which comes after recent rocket attacks against U.S. forces in Iraq.
Now, the Biden administration, based on my conversations, is trying to show it can do multiple things at once, both engage in diplomacy over the Iran nuclear talks. Again, they want to try to restart those talks while also showing strength.
That's NBC's Kristen Welker. A federal judge says a nationwide moratorium on evictions is unconstitutional. U.S. District Judge John Barker making that ruling in Texas, saying the federal government does not have the power to stop residential evictions.
You don't say. Go ahead.
And the Golden Globes getting handed out in a virtual ceremony on Sunday. I want to see how you hand somebody something in a virtual, if you're here and they're now, well.
I know what you mean.
Tina Fey and Amy Poehler returning as hosts. Fey hosting from 30 Rock in New York, Poehler in Beverly Hills.
They're not even going to be together?
Nope.
That's so weird.
Coast to coast.
No. All right. Timing. I don't know the timing is going to work virtually, but we'll see. All right. Hey, you know, if you've got a carpet that needs cleaning, drapes need freshening, there's just one place to call. That's Elite Services Quality Clean. Gosh, they do such a good job. Dave and his team of experts are a full service professional carpet, tile, grout, oriental, and area rug cleaning company. You can get a free quote today, and remember, it's not clean unless it's Elite Services Quality Clean. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, don't expect Deshaun Watson to play for Houston this year. Although he led the league yesterday in offensive performance, he is not happy with the organization, telling new head coach David Culley he stands by his original statement. He will not be playing for Texas this year, and he wants a trade. Tiger Woods, he's been traded. He has been transferred away from Harbor UCLA Medical Center. You know, he suffered that car crash that put his right leg and his left leg in some serious damage. Well, he has been transferred to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center for his ongoing orthopedic care and recovery, is what they are saying. And we may have a new logo for the NBA. The current silhouette is of the famous Laker, Jerry West, and they are pushing for Kobe Bryant And actually, I have a feeling it's going to happen.
Yeah, I would think.
I'm Davis Allen with Quick Shout Sports, and now rolling it on over into traffic. Let's take a look at Garson. Garson Point Bridge, north and southbound, very, very delayed. Northbound, clearing up a little bit. Southbound, before you get to the toll plot, or before you get to the hump, I should say, you're going to be met with some delays as you're trying to get into Gulf Breeze. And then as you're traveling along Avalon Boulevard, northbound appears to be delayed around Monterey Lane, and southbound going to I-10 is backed up to Del Monte Street. But I-10 and I-110 checking and clear along with 9 Mile Road, and both gates of NES Pensacola flowing smoothly. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So you always hear me talking about Southeast Air Shuttle and flying to business meetings like in Nashville or Orlando or surveying a job site, and especially outside of major metropolitan areas where they happen to have a civil aviation field that you can land and you can be close to your thing even if it's not in a major city. That's all true. But maybe what you think is, I don't have to fly for business, Andrew. What's this got to do with me? Well, how does a Sunset Beach Champagne tour sound to you? Yeah, Eric, Captain Eric, he can take you and your sweetie up in the plane at sunset. You fly along the beach for an hour. You're sitting in the back, sipping champagne, watching the sunset. Oh, man. Talk about a once-in-a-lifetime, memorable, just totally different kind of romantic experience. And that's just the example. When you can fly when you want, not when you're told, you can do stuff like this. Southeast Air Shuttle, your no-line airline at flysoutheast.com. So I don't know that we've got a chance to really get into it, but did you see that Twitter is going to allow you to make groups and allow you to charge people for exclusive content? They're talking about making super fans so that you could charge people like a monthly access fee so that they could see more of your stuff. I think the one person who could probably charge the most and get away with it is not on Twitter anymore, right? We'll be back in a minute.